You're listening to the Widnes Rugby Chat podcast, available every Wednesday on iTunes, Spotify, Audioboom and widnesrugby.com.
On this week's show, an interview with Widnes coach Tim Sheens. We'll talk Widnes TV, Brian McDermott's moan at shocking Widnes fans, and all the chat from the Championship season launch on Widnes Rugby Chat. So welcome to episode 35 of Widnes Rugby Chat, the first in 2020. I hope the off-season isn't dragging too much for you. Later in the show, I sit down with Tim Sheens to have a really good chat, to be honest, about all things Widnes, his arrival at the club, his thoughts on pre-season and a few thoughts on players, talk about recruitment as well too. If you've not seen the club, have put out this week about floating the idea of Widnes TV. They're wanting some fans' feedback on that. If you've not seen that, the idea is that for a £50 a year subscription fee or two payments of £30, you'll get access to Widnes TV. On there, they'll have home and away games in full HD footage. It wouldn't be live. I've seen a few tweets about that. They wouldn't be live games, but you'd be able to watch them on demand. They'd have the reserves and academy full games too, plus the inside track with coach insight, training footage, behind-the-scenes footage, feature interviews and some past games as well. I think I commented on this. It's not something I don't think I would particularly look at subscribing to for that. I hope it doesn't mean that the free stuff that we get at the moment, the match highlights and other interviews, doesn't stop. I don't think it will. I think this Widnes TV thing is for new, almost a new service with additional content. Of course, fans who don't often get to games, or you know, for whatever reason, maybe they live away, or maybe illness, or maybe financial thing, they will at least be able to see full games on demand. I've seen a few people criticise it, saying, well, you know, fans are already paying for season tickets and Vicky memberships and stuff like that, but the simple fact is, if you don't want to pay for it, don't. I'm sure there's plenty of people out there who would see value in paying the subscription fee there. So hopefully we'll see that idea develop ahead of the start of the season. Don't forget to check out, I've been to the club I think three times over the past month or so. Spoke to Phil Finney, Dave Roll and the media team, Sam White and Sean Hayes. You can see them on the club's channels as well. I'm planning to go in a bit in a few weeks too to do some more of the inside Widnes shows as well too. But let's crack on with Widnes Rugby Chat for this week, and let's hear from the Widnes coach, Tim Sheens. So Tim, had your second hit out yesterday against Casford. How did that go? How did you feel the team responded to that?
Well, it was the main team's first hit out as a game. We'd had a bodies in front against Salford before Christmas, but in Rochdale we played our reserves. So I was pretty happy with our first team. Mind you, we played a Super League club, but a champion. Standard side, but they're all champ players. I mean, they're very talented youngsters in that group, and a few seniors. Most of those kids have played our level, and so we had to win, and win reasonably well for me to be happy, and we did. So given the experience that I had in my spine compared to Darryl, who was, you know, playing with his halves, he didn't have any real major players in that position.
How happy have you been with how the team's come together since you arrived at the club?
Very happy, actually. At 6 weeks before Christmas, and halfway through that, we brought in Logan Tompkins, and then a little later, Matty Smith. So two very key players in vital spots, so they haven't had a big pre-season with us. But given the amount of time we've had together, I'm very happy so far. I'm pleased we've still got 2 or 3 weeks before we go to our first game. And the first part month, I reckon, we'll still be developing our combinations and our vocab. But yesterday, everything we tried seemed to work. And we scored some nice points and we defended pretty well.
Yeah, I think you had a try, almost like a carbon copy try yesterday that you scored at Rochdale last week. So
yeah,
it must be pleasing for you that your systems are, the listening to your systems, no matter who the players are.
Ryan O'Brien here is the academy and also the reserves coach, and the kids, because we're part-time, the bonus is the seniors train with the kids. Whereas when you're Super League, you train during the day and the kids come in at night. So what's happening, the two sides work together, and I've had a lot of them, particularly the trialists, train with me for that 6 to 8 weeks. So we are pushing the vocab through, and of course Ryan will take it through to the 18s and then filters through to the 16s. So hopefully we'll have a, you know, on the same wavelength. Yeah. And you never know when an 18-year-old, last year Witness had a number of them break into first grade, and if they know the fundamental calls and the fundamental plays, then it's easy. Yeah. Now, I mean, there'll be different plays in both teams, but there's a core group of plays that a kid could come up, or I can send someone down who'll know those plays. So I'm not stopping the coach from advancing stuff in outside, but we have a core number of calls and plays. So while we're on the same language, it's easy for boys to travel up and down, even between 16s and 18s and 18s and reserves, first grade back to reserves, reserves up to first grade. So,
how impressed have you been by some of the youngsters at Widnes?
Oh, look, it's always been a club that's had some outstanding ones. I was a bit disappointed to see the ones that had left, because there's some very, very good young talent that left the club after the administration thing. So, but to the credit of the club, and the recruitment has been good. There's another flow of kids coming through. Two or three outstanding ones, in my opinion. Easy play for me this year, even though they're only 18 and 19. The fact that the age group dropped a year left a lot of kids who would have been in last year academy. Look, that's why reserves is very good for us. And a lot of those lads would have been outstanding if it was still academy age, like a year up. Now they're playing reserves, playing with men, against men, and gradually you see they're not overawed by it. I know a long season, although the reserve season isn't as long as first grade, but it'll be a really good year for them, and we've got some real good kids coming through. Yeah,
is one of them players Jacob Dugdale? Is he?
Yes,
he one that's caught your eye?
Yeah.
Do you see him as more of a halfback or as a hooker?
You're obviously watching our games, because I think he's both. I think though, he'd be a good halfback, but he could be a great nine.
Just needs a bit of size, maybe, for nine.
Yeah. Well, he's only young. He tackles above his weight. Don't worry about that. But as a seven, he's seen the game from a distance, and I'm watching the nine. We've got a couple of experienced nines going around in there. Lewis Hume and company, young Wood. And he'll always play nine as well, probably with me, not seven as such. I've got enough in that position. He can play nine at academy as well. We want to float him in between those. Doesn't hurt his game to have the ability to play both. I've got a lot of... It's utility, but it's not a complete utility. It's a spine utility, though. I'll play two spine positions. Like, I can play Jack Owens, I reckon, in at seven or in at nine. He did a bit yesterday at it. So that sort of understanding the game, calling the shots, using your mouth to run the game is good for Dougie or young Jacob at seven, because at nine he's listening to them, so he now knows when he's at seven what the nine wants, or as a nine he'll know, sorry, what the seven wants. So it should help expand his game.
And obviously having the experience of Matty and Logan in
I mean, Logan grabs him regularly, and they talk and do some work on his game. It's always good to have a senior guy in the team that's prepared to work with the younger ones, and we can coach all day, but they look up to the guy playing in their position, you know. At the moment, I don't think Dougie'd want to say better than Logan. When it gets to that point, it becomes a little testy, but at the moment he's learning everything he can from him, yeah.
And do you see you spelling hookers this year? You don't envisage Logan doing 80 minutes?
It's a difficult one, depending on, like, 6-3 penalty count against us yesterday at half time, and he was up in, I reckon he'd be up in the, I haven't seen the count yet because we're here today, he'd be up in the close to 25 tackles, 30, you know, they're working him over early, and so I reckon in those sorts of games, if the second half looked like that again, he might have been, and I did spell him. Well, I spelled him only because I wanted to experiment with a couple of things. But we'd won the game at that point with him at nine.
I hear you've been impressed with Owen Farnworth as well as in pre-season.
Yes.
obviously he's someone, I think he struggled with injury a little bit last season.
I don't know. I knew nothing about him other than I interviewed him and Young Wild. They both were like that about staying. I had a talk to him. Both good guys decided to stay. Been really impressed with Owen, although he didn't get an 8 or a 10. That doesn't mean anything to me in real terms. I know it did to the Chaplow boys but and the lads over here. But to me, those two, Kenny Baker, Moran and Owen Farnworth, that's our middle. And they all played well yesterday.
Yeah.
Owen in particular, he's raw and rough and tumble. Yeah. The sort of prop sometimes. Not a pure, skillful guy, but just a raw, rough and tumble guy that really makes you work hard to knock him over. And he's developing some subtleties to his game. I'm working with him hard. So it's not just take on three guys every time. And he is really sticking his nose through and making yards post-contact, which they all did yesterday. I was pretty happy with that. It's a thing we mark in their game, you know, yardage post-contact, off plays rather than just hit-ups.
Yeah. About the twins, what have you made of them? Can you tell which one's which?
No, I can. I'm getting better. But I'm going to have to scar one of them or cut one's hair or something. Ryan knows. One's a little heavier than the other. And when I said that, well, one's fatter than the other, right, pre-season, he's gone and lost 4 kilo, hasn't he? So now, instead of 112, he's 108, and his brother's 105 or 4. But when you see them together, you can tell. But when you're there in a team running, it's just Chaplow.
Do you see that as an advantage? Would you have one in the starting team, one off the bench, and then you've almost got the continuity because obviously they're very similar players?
What will happen will happen after the friendlies and the games. I'm still working on a number of positions, who's going to be our best player in this position, that position. And the game, the games will tell you that. So whether or not Pat had a good game yesterday, he started at 13. Big Kenny Baker is a 13, but played second row until Shane is back. So, it's again just playing the numbers and looking at their ability in different positions. They are similar players, but if they work hard, my starting props, I'd want either of them to be able to play 25 minutes straight up.
Yeah.
And yesterday, we only used two in the first half. We interchanged Ted, I think, wasn't it? Because he copped a finger in the eye. I wanted the doctor to look at it. That's the only reason. Otherwise, we'd have probably got through the first half with only one, maybe two interchange backs. Well, we only used two anyway with that.
Are you looking at adding any more bodies? I know from speaking with Phil, Joe Reg and loans are being floated about. Is that something you're still looking at?
Yep. You're always going to have a what I'd call a strong parent club. Champ clubs, for instance, Featherstone probably got to the grand final on that. You know, the five boys that were being regularly sent to them. And I think they've got a similar program this year. No, I think you need that sort of thing. We're not self-sufficient, and particularly money-wise, after the issues last year. So having a strong parent club is going to be important for us. Certainly we'll keep looking at players, but I'm looking internally more than externally by way of most positions. But every couple will tell you they always want another prop, so you could always do with another one. Halves were settled, spine were settled, centres were good, wingers were good, fullback were good. So back row, we probably could do with. That's why Kenny Baker playing there showed me he can. So, Shane Grady and Wild would be your starters, but Kenny could play there. And we've had Connor Dwyer play really well yesterday, second row. So I've got a handful of that. Young Hatton, guys who played, just put their foot in first grade last year. Cooper, not big back rower, but tough. So, good interchange back rowers when you start with your bigger guys and then throw on someone with a lot of minutes in them.
And McGrath's in there as well. Is he
McGrath
injured at the moment?
He came back from Australia late. He had some family issues. And then what happened, he trained the first night and he got back on the plane, didn't tell me. I thought he'd come back a couple of days earlier. He'd walked off the plane and basically trained.
Right.
And he pulled up with a sore hip, so I didn't want to risk it. And he's still recovering from the trip as well. You know, it takes your body a week or so to get yourself back in the rhythm of your sleep patterns and things, so I wasn't going to risk him. But McGrath and Shane are the two most notable, I think, injured at the moment. Shane and McGrath would be the two seniors that didn't place. Other than that, we had pretty much our best squad. There was a couple of trialists I was going to give a run to, but they weren't 100% either, so I just stuck with...
Do you see yourself giving deals to any of the trialists at this moment?
I think they'll all get a deal.
Right. Because obviously with the reserves in mind...
The five we've got, they'll easy make reserves, yeah. They've already proven that, I'm sure. Ryan would support me here. It's they've won their two reserve games, one against Salford, one against Rochdale. And the reserves have all stood up and offered something. That doesn't mean we can offer massive money, but it'll be a chance to work with the first grade all year and get a chance to play at champ level. If it was Super League, a lot of them wouldn't, I don't think, get there. It's hard to say. But certainly, I wouldn't look at a trialist and contract him if I didn't think he could play champ. And I think they could all play champ.
So, obviously, a couple of weeks off to the season, do you see yourself adding bodies before the start of the season, or are you happy with what you've got now?
Coaches are never happy, mate. You've got to understand that. We're fairly healthy at the minute, but that can change. I would like at least another prop.
And have you got any irons in the fire, or is that still...
Nothing. It's just... I was asked the other day... who asked me? I think... Warrington was still looking for another prop. I mean, everyone's...
Yeah.
There's always another... You could put another head in there. So experimenting with a big back rower or a centre in the back row gives you those options if you don't quite fill them out. But I came in late, and we've just sort of identified we could probably do with another big man, an experienced man if possible, but if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen.
Yeah. And you've got Crusaders this Sunday and then a week off before the main season starts. How important is it to get off to a good start this season?
Very important, I think. Putting some points, building some points in the first six games is important for the times when things go flat, or you might run into four of the better sides, two of them away, like Toulouse and so on, and then lose a few games, and you need a bit of a lead and you need some confidence. So, I'm hoping we get away to a good start. It's important that we do, and that we win a few early games, and so you can always then, you can have a back-to-back loss, which may happen, may not, but it may happen, and then all of a sudden you're back in the tumble dryer at the bottom, So you need to sort of get away to a decent number of points out of your first six games.
And are you still managing the expectations? It's a case of, we want to get the playoffs and then see what happens. Is that still your level?
Oh, look, every team that plays wants the semi-final. I mean, you might as well not play if you don't think you don't want that. To achieve it, though, it's the bread and butter games, isn't it? It's day-to-day, week-to-week, month-to-month sort of thing. And You build your confidence, you build your team, and then you hope the hell that you've won enough points, and at the end of the year, you make the five, then you're a chance. But if you can't make the semis, you're no chance of going up anyway, are you? There's two competitions, the main comp and the semi-comp, so we've got that as a goal, but it's our aims, or maybe an aim. Our goals are week in, week out, various little things. And obviously managing to keep them healthy as best we can. It's not always easy to do. But touch wood, they're fit. And we seem to be managing things reasonably well with medical and conditioning. And, I've been around too long to know the wheels can fall off very quickly. And if it happens in one position, which it happened to KR last year, three props went down, then two more went in for surgery, Bossier and Garbutt. Five props down, you're using 18-year-olds and six, and you're playing in the Easter weekend, you're in trouble, aren't you?
Yeah.
And we did, we got smacked.
Yeah.
And that didn't help things for my purposes. So, you can't, it's when you lose people in the key positions is when injury hurts. If you're covered, it's like anything, if you cover the positions, injury you can handle, but hopefully no season ending, the dreaded cruciate or the shoulder reconstruction that on a key player that, like KR, it was the fullback.
Quinlan.
Losing him for a year.
Yeah. What do you make of the obviously artificial pitch at Widnes? The artartificial pitch at Widnes, is that
looks brilliant.
Suits your game, doesn't it, the way you like to play?
Yeah, fast game. It seems to slow the ball on the kick too. I thought Danny yesterday kicked too dead easy and just stopped. Wasn't much backspin, the grass just stops it. but it's very good compared to the old pitch, which I've experienced the boys playing on. It's a class pitch. Warrington trained on it on Friday before they went away on camp. Had no touch wood again, no leg issues. We've adapted to it. All the boys have adapted to it pretty well.
And obviously, we've got the 1895 Cup now, yes, which they didn't have when you had Hulk. Obviously, Widnes got to Wembley last year, and obviously, it was a great day out. Is that something that you'd like
to do? Well,
set
a bar. It's always hard not to make it when someone has. So I would like them not to have made it last year. It'd give me something. But look, those things, again, will be determined by the draw, sometimes the luck of the draw, the games and who's fit on the Wednesday to play them. And then you've got your Challenge Cup you want to focus on too. So, you know, and then week-to-week games. So, you know, your squad's going to get really called upon. So the reserves are very important from that point of view to have them up to speed, because we will use reserves for what's left over to play, to keep them fit.
Yeah.
Super League might not send one of their better players to reserves and just full-time keep them fit and then put them straight back in. Like Adam Quinlan went straight back into KR. He was never going to play a reserve game or a lone game. So your key players don't. But in our instance, we would always use reserves, I think, as a means to bring them back into the team, unless it's one of the 8 or 9 definites that are always going to be in the side, you know, that basically, you know, they're in every week. There's always an element of player around that 17, 18, 19, 20 that'll play reserves, yeah.
That's actually the first time I've sat down with Tim Sheen since he was appointed Widnes coach. I don't think I've actually interviewed him since the 2013 World Cup when he was Australia coach, so quite surreal really to think that he's now the Widnes coach. I actually had a really good 10-minute chat with him after the interview as well. He's really enthusiastic about some of the Widnes youngsters. Obviously, he made some comments in the interview there about a couple of them. So all in all, lots to be positive about. No word on signings. I did try and push for that. Nothing really in the pipeline signing-wise, whether that be loans, dual-reg or otherwise. By the sounds of it, nothing really going on the dual-reg. I know some people have talked about Warrington and, you know, is Danny Walker an option? But by the sounds of it, Tim more than happy with Jacob Dugdale as the backup option at hooker and at scrum half as well. It was the Championship season launch earlier this week. I was there in a working capacity and spoke to Matty Smith. He'll be on next week's podcast, so you'll hear some from what he had to say about his move to Widnes. Not really much in the way of other talk going on. Warrington trained on the I-pitch last week on Friday before their departure to Portugal for their pre-season camp. I spoke to Anthony Gellin actually last week as well. I believe he's been to Widnes training a couple of times over the off-season to catch up with various people there. This got on my radar probably a couple of days ago. Brian McDermott has done an interview as part of... There's been some Toronto Wolfpack documentaries going on, and he's very damning about Widnes fans in it. He calls Widnes fans shocking for their reaction to when Toronto were presented with the League Leaders' Shield last, I think it was August, which came after Toronto won at Widnes in front of the Sky cameras. To be honest, I find the comments pretty poor from Brian McDermott, to be honest. I think the whole concept of presenting the trophy to a team at an away game is nonsense. It should never have been presented to Toronto at Widnes. It should have always been presented at a Toronto home game. He then goes on to witter on about how Widnes fans, or I'm guessing he's hinting at Heartlands fans, they fear change and they're happy that they're not really bothered about what's good for the game. They're more bothered about their club's health. And I just find it poor from Brian McDermott, to be honest. He's made several poor comments over time. Let's put a bit of context into that situation. Widnes were in administration, the club nearly went out of business 6 months before, and yet he's expecting, you know, 3,000 or 4,000 fans to be clapping politely when Toronto get presented with the League Leaders' Shield. I mean, bearing in mind that'd have been bad enough. Don't forget Widnes had been relegated 4 or 5 months prior to that as well. So, I mean, I don't really understand what Brian McDermott expected. I didn't even see it because I left as soon as the match finished, and obviously the home team had gone off. I went, I'm not staying to watch Toronto be presented with the League Leaders' Shield. I wouldn't have stayed if it was Bradford being presented with the League Leaders' Shield. It's got nothing to do with it being Toronto or not. The fact is, if it wasn't Toronto, it probably wouldn't have even been presented on that day. So, you know, poor comments, it has to be said, and it does feel like sometimes when you're a supporter of a so-called unfashionable club that people are always willing to stick the boot in and tell people how they should act. So, disappointing from a high-profile coach, that one. But we move on. So, thanks for listening to this week's episode. Plenty of episodes lined up. We've got some player interviews lined up for the coming weeks too. Thanks, as always, to sponsors PD Law, Musical All Sorts, Arnold Gorse Financial Management and Deals the Jewellers. Always looking for new sponsors as well, so if you want to jump on board, please do. Got a new website as well, witnessrugby.com. The forum is now part of that website as well. There'll be regular articles, the podcast will be on there, the forum will be on there too. So please do check out that website, witnessrugby.com. And if you want to get in touch with me, if you want to you know, send a letter in or send an email in, and I'll read out in one of the podcasts in the coming weeks, please do. It's james@witnessrugby.com. I must say thanks to Alan Dean. I believe he's listening. I sent a really nice email to me this week. I helped him with his forum account as well, so a shout out to him too. But yeah, it'd be great to hear your thoughts on a few things. It'd be great to have a regular segment in the podcast where I'm reading out some fan comments too. And obviously, if you want to get your voice heard as well on the podcast, I'm more than happy to accommodate that as well. So please do drop me a message or find me on Twitter as well. But that's it from me for this week. I'll see you again next Wednesday. Thanks for listening.